back in 2014, there was a coup in Ukraine where the actual government was overthrown and replaced by American puppets. And guess who was the guy behind that? That was Anthony Blinken, who is now our Secretary of State. And I think it was a day after that or a couple days after that, they signed a 25-year agreement with Iran where, hey, they're going to import Iranian oil and they don't care what the U.S. sanctions do. And they're going to work with Iran to develop its economy and they don't care what the U.S. does. So basically, they've just got up and said, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. And then also another one is Wang Yi and Sergey Lavrov got together on March 23rd. You know, that's the Russian foreign minister, and they both had a show of unity, saying, "Hey, we're best buddies. We're the biggest, baddest boys on the planet, and we're declaring our independence from, you know, your Anglo-American empire." So the U.S. has no more power. The U.S. has no possibility of projecting power. And if there ever was a war between, you know, China would wipe out Guam and all the U.S. bases on Guam and Okinawa and Wake Island within minutes, and any fleet going on there would be sunk within hours.
With the global economy being in shambles and central bankers moving towards a reset, it's never been a better time to protect your wealth by owning precious metals. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com. Tell him Sarah sent you. He promised me he'll guarantee you the lowest price anywhere in the country. Remember, email Andy at milesfranklin.com and tell him Sarah sent you. It's never been a better time to protect your future than now. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Ken Schwartz coming back to the program. And for many of you, you know of him as C60 Purple Power. But before he started this second career, he did a lot of consulting in the Middle East, military consulting and top secret type stuff. And he's going to come on and do some analysis on what's going on in the Ukraine area with China. And I want to warn you that what we are hearing in the United States is so, we all know we're propagandized. We are not hearing the truth. Well, we don't hear the truth on anything. And even our independent media has a hard time figuring out what the truth is because we are bombarded with reports that are not real amongst the independent media. And so when you listen to Ken, I know you're going to have a knee-jerk reaction on some of this stuff because it's not what we're hearing, and it's not, it doesn't feel like it's truth, but we sort through, I push back quite a bit, and we sort through a lot of issues. We get into the China issue, we talk about the globalists, we talk about all sorts of angles here, and it's a really, really good discussion, and something you're just not going to hear elsewhere as far as having an intellectual discussion, pushing back and forth, challenging the narrative, figuring out what's really going on. And I don't know if you're following, but Ukraine and Russia, there's war tensions, there's troop buildups. The president of Ukraine actually declared war against Russia on March 24th. And just today, the Russian television is saying that there is a possibility of a nuclear strike. And there's heavy bombing going on in Ukraine, and it's really escalating. It is dangerous because Ukraine is trying to do an emergency addition to NATO, and NATO, they're trying to suck in the rest of the countries into this conflict. We talk about how in their right mind would a world war be beneficial. I mean, we have these globalists are out of their minds. They're desperate. We talk about why they're desperate. We talk about China. We talk about all these different angles. And I just ask that you allow yourself to listen and think about it from different perspectives. And just maybe we're not getting the truth over here. And that's why I pushed back and I had some issues. But I have to understand as much as anybody else that what we're hearing, what I'm hearing might not be truth. And I'm being fed a bunch of disinformation when it comes to China, when it comes to Russia. And even though it's way better than what we're hearing on, you know, the CNN and NBC and company, It's probably not exactly what's going on. And it's hard to know what's exactly going on because there's multiple agendas all over the place. And we, as this falls out and things start to become clear, we'll get a better picture. But let's just pray that Russian television is just hyping it up, being a bunch of guerrillas and trying to scare people. We really, the last thing we need is a nuclear strike. And the last thing on top of, second to that, is another world war. We do not need that. I know that their agenda is depopulation, and war is a great way to do that on top of all this COVID BS. So before we get into this interview, it's a two-parter. It's pretty long. I want to tell you that I have some new exclusives up on Ebonier and sarahwestall.tv. And again, sarahwestall.tv will never be censored. And I put all my shows up there. And I have the exclusives up there, but I also have it on Ebonier. And Ebonier, you get the exclusives, but you also have a rich platform to be able to talk to other people, ask questions. There's over 50 different free ebooks up there, and there's coupons for things like C60 gel caps and for Defy Time and for Tetragen. It helps you curb your fight fat in 5 different ways. So there's a lot of good things up on Ebonier, and you can subscribe to that at sarahwestall.com under subscribe. You can subscribe to Ebonier and sarahwestall.tv. And I also want to encourage you to support all my other platforms, as well as sign up for my newsletter, where I put out articles from sources all over the world and my new shows. So anyways, let's get into this really fascinating discussion with Ken Schwartz. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to the program.
Well, glad to be on.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you about the escalations of war going on in the Ukraine area. And I know that's what you did. You did consulting. You worked mostly in the Middle East, but it's something that you've really kept an eye on because it's all kind of the same with these neocons. But I just read a report, actually you sent me the report, showing that Ukraine actually signed a document on March 24th to officially declare war on Russia. Of course, our media is not talking about it, but it's very serious in the sense the state actually declared war. And their goal is to get the Crimea region back, which they do not believe they can get without force. What is the deal behind that? Obviously, the United States is behind that. And what are they doing?
Yeah, well, that was Decree 117/2021. It was done March 24th, and Ukrainian President Zelensky signed it. But we need to go kind of back on some of this stuff. Back in 2014, there was a coup in Ukraine where the actual government was overthrown and replaced by American puppets. And guess who was the guy behind that? That was Anthony Blinken, who is now our Secretary of State. So it's Joe Obama, the Joe Obama third administration. And I don't know if people remember years back, who was that one that used to brag about it? Victoria Nuland. Yeah, she was bragging about how
she's back
it cost
there
them
too.
$5 billion to overthrow the Ukraine. Yeah, so I don't know if she's crawled out from underneath her rock, but
I think she's back
as a Secretary of State. But of course, you know, she probably is part of the gangster group. But this is like one little part, but it's also part of a bigger concept, and that's the Thucydides trap. And Thucydides was a Greek general back where there's a war between the Spartans and the Athenians and Peloponnesia. And Thucydides' trap is when basically one empire is declining and another power is rising to replace it. And they've gone back, and it's just a term they came up with. They've gone back and looked, and, you know, out of 16 of the 20 times this has happened, it's resulted in war between the declining empire and the rising one. And of course, the rising empire, as most people can figure out, is China.
Yes.
And Zionist Anglo-Empire, that's the one going down. And they're, you know, South China Sea. You know, it's the South China Sea. It's not the American Sea. So why are U.S. ships floating around there? I don't know. But that's all part of that brinkmanship and of the declining power, you know, kind of trying to push back on it. And that's where we're at.
Well, and what do you think about us going to war? I mean, what, for God's sake, I mean, war at this time is very, very dangerous, not just for the local region, but for the world in general. Our technology is so advanced now that, you know, killing people is not that hard to do with tactical nukes and all sorts of other things, lasers and satellites and everything they have. It's just a complete disaster. So what do you think they really are trying to do here?
Well, it's just, well, they don't have a plan B is basically. They feel they see the power slipping away from them. Yeah, sure, they did the plandemic where they're trying to lock down society and make everybody their slaves. But you got to realize, you know, United States and one of the Five Eyes, all the Anglo countries, right? They're only like 5-6% of the whole world population. The other's another 95% of the world out there that isn't going to play their games. And so, and everybody knows it. So it's kind of, they're just trying to glob on to power and stay in control. And well, it's like people, I don't know, people may recall they had that meeting with China and the United States met in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah.
And then they had Secretary of State got up and, you know, Anthony Blinken, and he was sitting there telling, you know, China, oh, you're so bad. Look at what you're doing to the Uyghurs and Hong Kong and Taiwan. And then Wang Yi got up and just gave them a dressing down. And then some of the other guy that was there, I can't remember what his name was. He was one was the Secretary of State for China, Foreign Minister of China. And the other one was the security officer. And they both got up and they just basically told him, the United States guy says, you are not the world community. You can't speak. And look at all the things that you're doing and all the problems that you have in your country. And you have no right to lecture us on human rights or anything else, which is true.
It is true, but it is sad what they're doing.
And so that's basically what at that Anchorage conference, China just told the United States, and we're not going to do whatever you want. And we're going to do what we want. And I think it was a day after that or a couple of days after that, they signed a 25-year agreement with Iran where, hey, they're going to import Iranian oil and they don't care what the U.S. sanctions do. And they're going to work with Iran to develop its economy and they don't care what the U.S. does. So basically, they've just got up and said, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. And then also another one is Wang Yi and Sergei Lavrov got together on March 23rd. You know, that's the Russian foreign minister. And they both had a show of unity saying, hey, we're best buddies. We're the biggest, baddest boys on the planet. And we're declaring our independence from, you know, your Anglo-American empire.
Pardon me, you know what, I've been covering all this stuff and it seems like China's in on it. The Chinese Communist Party is in on this world domination crap that's going on. And they want the power to shift over to China. And the globalists are behind it. They're behind this power shift to China. And that it's not necessarily the United States going down or the Britain Empire going down. It's actually a shift of moving the globalists' resources over to China, and they're controlling it from that perspective. What do you say about that?
Well, that's, you know, the Westerners, there may be these wet behind the ears Westerners who think that they can control China. But they're just kidding themselves. China is an ancient culture. They've, you know, 4,000 years old. They've been around the block a couple of times. And yes, the Westerners think they can play China, but China will be the one playing them. And when the smoke clears, they're going to be the ones in charge. And those Westerners, whether it's the House of Rothschilds or whatever gangsters they have, they aren't going to be the ones. You know, the Chinese haven't forgotten the 100 years of humiliation. And they're going to make their own move.
Well, yeah, my issue is that the globalists have always had a Chinese connection, and that when the Chinese Communist Party came into power, that was the globalists, because I've covered a lot of the Chinese and the people, they call it the Walking Dead, because when the Communist Party came into power, so much of their culture was forced to not be remembered. I mean, they can't celebrate their culture like they used to. And it's a devastating thing to the Chinese, but the Communist Party just decimated the Chinese culture. What do you say about that? Because there's a lot of evidence to show that you know, when the communists came in, and that's the same time they took over the Tsar of Russia, and they also did the Federal Reserve around the all that same time. And that's all tied to the globalist domination that they've been working on forever. It's just incredible. But what do you say about that? Because there's a lot of evidence to that, pointing to that.
Yeah, well, the Communist Party of yesterday is not the one today. I mean, right now, China is far more capitalist than the United States.
No, I believe that.
And they've turned in, you know, they have, it's socialism with the Chinese model. And that the whole thing is they're breaking free of control of the West, you know, and you know, they have a different way of operating. They're much more subtle and than the brash Westerners. Remember, Western society is only 500 years old at the oldest. We really don't come from the Greeks and the Romans. That's just, oh, sure, they like to make buildings and speak Latin language and pretend, but that's not true. The West is a very young culture.
Well, America is a young culture, but you can't say that Europe is, because Europe has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, it is, but the current, what we call Western civilization, it's okay. Really less than 500 years old. And what it is, and that's also part of the whole, the mentality here, the progressive mentality or the development mentality. And they see history, the Westerners, because they've, you know, places like China and India, they've been through the rise and fall of multiple, you know, cultures and civilizations. And then they come back and then they go away. And so they see history as a secular, like a cycle of rise and fall. Whereas West, sure. So young, it's never gone through a cycle. It sees it, you know, as a starting at this lower point and then heading upward into infinity, you know, as an endless level of progression to higher and higher states. And that's not the way the world works. It's actually a cycle. And so we're actually in the decline phase of, you know, heading into our Kali Yuga. And that whole perception, you know, so they think they're all jabbering, all these progressives are, oh, we must be moving forward because time's moving forward. No, you're declining down in the tubes. I mean, look at all the politically correctness and the degeneracy and depravity of modern society in the West and versus that of China, where, you know, they still have morals and ethics and some sort of structure there. Because, you know, that look, the Mongols came and took over China, but then within three generations, the Chinese threw them off. And yeah, maybe they had these other outsiders come and took over China for a while through their influence and control, but then the Chinese will throw them off too. And it will become China, because China has traditionally been the center of the world. And the hub, the most advanced country or land, and that's it has been for thousands of years. I mean, you know, if you look at movable type, gunpowder, casting of large iron. I mean, virtually every technological development first happened in China, and then it moved to the West.
Sure, but that's a little different than the Chinese Communist Party that really rose to power in the beginning of the last century. And has been dominating China ever since. The Chinese Communist Party is a brutal regime that killed, 70 million people. Some people say it's even 100 million. Some people say it's less than that. And that's not the traditional Chinese culture that we're talking about here. And they also, they are moving to more of a socialist / communist. But I was there last year for, you know, a good 3 weeks. You know, trying to see what was going on. And it's very, very much still a communist culture. Their people are very disciplined. They're very nice. They're really great people. But there's almost they're not free. There's a different behavior. There's almost a fear there of the people. It's a very different kind of culture. And, you know, they've really cracked down on Hong Kong because of the capitalists. They want to control it. There is a control thing. The Uyghur Muslims are being put into re-education camps in mass. They really cracked down on the Falun Gong because they wanted to, that was 20 years ago and it's still going on, not as much, but they cracked down on them because they didn't want a religion and that you should follow the party, not the religion. They did it all over as mass propaganda. So it is very much a controlled society, communism, and that's not they're historically say that's a lot, you know, that China's been around for thousands of years, but that's not their culture either. They got controlled and dominated by this communist party. And I would say that the globalists are behind that communist party.
Well, they think they are, but the Chinese are broken free. And that's what,
how do you know that?
Because you can see, well, for instance, you know, in the little, I guess we, since we're not on YouTube, we can actually speak freely now.
Yes.
And well, for instance, when the biggest threat that the globalists see is the Chinese Belt and Road, which actually, if you come from, it comes from Hegla, Zepp LaRouche, and Lyndon LaRouche.
Yeah.
They're the actual people behind the Chinese Belt and Road. And the Chinese openly admit this, that they've been, you know, the both of them had been working years and years, decades with the Chinese to do.
Yep.
So the Chinese started this Belt and Road. Well, when the CV came out, where did it break out? It broke out in China. It broke out in Iran, where the leadership caught it first. And it broke out in Italy. And they were slightly different variants. And that's like, for instance, if you look at the building of the Belt and Road, because of the virus, 90% of the construction activity on the Belt and Road was stopped during last year. So they effectively shut down the whole thing. And if we were looking at this, we need to go back to World War I, when they were going to build a thing called the Berlin to Baghdad Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Where they were going to build, basically, it would have developed that whole area. And that's the reason for World War I. And if you actually look at it, because at that time, the British had enslaved the Iranians, and all the British Navy was running off oil that was being taken from Iran. And so the British didn't want that. And actually, World War I started when the British invaded the Iraqi province of Turkey. At that time, Iraq was a province of the Ottoman Empire. And so the British actually invaded to steal the and control the oil there to cut off the chance of a Berlin to Baghdad railroad. And then like when the Archduke, and so that's where actually World War I started. That started before the Archduke Ferdinand. And then the Archduke Ferdinand, well, that was a Masonic hit through the Black Hand of the various things controlled by the City of London. Because, you know, they had the Archduke Ferdinand, his wife, you know, they had the driver was driving down the road, and then he pulled off down a wrong turn, right?
Yep.
And he parked right in front of where the assassin was waiting. You know, so he, and that was the quote official thing that would cause it. But that was a cunning thing that the British secret societies, secret, you know, whatever you want to call the precursor of M16, because they're the most cunning, you know, of all. And
sure.
If you really, the city is the City of London rules the world. I mean, that's what rules the West.
Yep.
Rules, that's what, you know, was the who financed the Soviet Union, right? That was that. And they're the guys that pull the strings on this planet. And the rest of the world really doesn't like it, especially the Chinese and the Russians, even though they still, like the Russians, still have a private national bank controlled by, you know, the banking dynasties of the City of London. They don't like it, but this is their breaking free. And this is the Thucydides clap, where the China and Russia and all the other countries in this world want to break free from that Zionist Anglo-American empire. And we're seeing this in the whole thing. And like what's happening in Ukraine, which I probably should get back to since that's sort of what we were going to talk about. But don't think that's the only thing going on. There's because that may be the front thing, but the cunning ones will come from behind with another thing. There's also the things going on with Iran, and you know, because the Israeli military is planning to attack Iran, and it said if Iran and U.S. resumes the Iranian nuclear deal, that's the JCPOA, which they had down in 2015. I think they had Lieutenant General Kahavi said that, and Defense Minister Benny Gantz said, you know, they're going to attack, and just yesterday. One of the Iranian anti-piracy ships in the Red Sea just got you know, they had put a mine on it. The Israelis put a mine on it and blew a hole in the side of it. And that's just because, like, if you, I don't know, at the beginning of this week, the U.S. began indirect talks with Iran in Vienna. So, like, you know, they're U.S., Britain, or I guess most of the Europeans, I guess that's Germany and France and maybe Britain sitting on that thing too. Are starting talks with, you know, Iran, indirect talks to restart that. And then what happens? Bam, you know, an Iranian ship gets damaged. So they, the Israelis are going to attack Iran if that, if they try to make the JCPOA go back on. So that's another thing. So, but we can't tell what's happening, you know, because they have one thing out in front, like the Ukrainian thing.
Yeah.
They pull another on the side. Because there's another thing too, because the whole financial system of the world and in is based on oil, and you know, controlling that. So they want a false flag event because they have so many bets on the oil going up, and we're this oil-based economy that we live in, that you know, that they want something like that. So a war in the Middle East would be ideal for them, because that would shove the price of oil to their ceiling. And look at how much money, I mean, the whole U.S. oil industry has just been devastated.
Yeah, but that was stupid, though, because they're cutting off our pipeline. They're making us more dependent on the Middle East. So if we go to war, we're more dependent on them. Well, that's because Biden is blackmailed by China.
Yeah, he's blackmailed by China. But you remember Biden, there's nobody home there. He's the
pretend. Well, the people behind him would not have put him in without understanding that he's blackmailed by China and that China has control of that administration.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Biden liked little girls. He wasn't in the Epstein gang. He was with another group of Israeli blackmailers. And so they have films of him doing little girls in Washington.
I knew that. I know that he's a creepo.
That's they find him out and behind Hunter. Of course, the Chinese would compromise Hunter, right? You can't get drugs in China. But there he was with a bunch of drugs and two hookers, right? You don't think the Chinese intelligence didn't have a bunch of cameras running?
Yeah,
the Chinese are not stupid. If they can blackmail and compromise American politicians, which is rather easy to do and really cheap too. American politicians are cheap whores, right? You can get them for a couple $1 million. You can compromise them and get them to do whatever you want and, you know, get a multi-billion dollar deal in. You make it cost you a few million to make billions. Well, that works. And so, yeah, don't think that any, and they're not the only ones, right? So they're, yeah, they would definitely, I mean, it's international politics is a ruthless thing. If you can, and you know, the Chinese, or the Russians or the Israelis or anybody else, they'll definitely compromise politicians of any country to get a little bit of advantage. And the U.S. does too. The U.S. intelligence agencies do too. Don't think,
They all do. That's all about compromise. Blackmail is the currency of the powerful. And that's what we coined when we put Jim Rothstein's interviews out there. And then they put it in that one book that went viral and number one on 16 different categories and on Amazon before they took it down. I want to get back a little bit to Lyndon LaRouche and the LaRouche organization, because I've been trying to understand the whole Chinese thing from their perspective in the London, but I have an issue with, you know, when an organization, because they're full blown into the COVID, they haven't been able to see that COVID is a game. Well, and they think over 3 million people have died from COVID. They don't know that the numbers are exaggerated. They don't claim that COVID is a war, you know, a biological weapon. And they don't talk about the fact that there's other treatments. They just talk about taking the vaccine. How do I believe their analysis of China and London if they can't get the COVID thing remotely right?
Well, actually, the LaRouche organization has split.
Does the part that backs the China and says that China's the good guys and that we, you know, they're just trying to break free and trying to create peace, does that part still believe COVID isn't a globalist sham?
Well,
and a vaccine sham? Because all I've ever seen from them is them, you know, touting the official line. And it's hard to believe anything that any organization says if they can't see past that.
Well, what happened was it split into two pieces. And there's one piece is the Schiller Institute. It's with Hegla LaRouche. And
yep.
It's in Europe and just a little place around New York. And then the other group is LaRouche PAC. That's where you need to go if you're in the U.S. And they're actually kind of support work with the Trump people. And
yes.
They're what kind of what you're looking for. The LaRouche PAC, the LaRouche organization that really it's now in Europe, and it may be a little presence in New York, but the Rouge Pack, which is the majority of the LaRouche organization, they've gone the other way, and they recognize what's going on. You know, they still follow the concept. They're actually the LaRouche organization, LaRouche Pack is. And so if you want to go learn about what's really going on, go to LaRouche Pack, don't go to the other one. Because it's kind of like, you know, the LaRouche died a couple of years ago, and then it kind of split. So kind of like the LaRouche organization is like the Gang of Four.
Yeah. You know,
Mao died, the Gang of Four kind of happened, where the old people hung on and just could stay in power, whereas the real activists in the future, that's like LaRouche Pack. So they're the ones you probably need to go check out. It's unfortunate, but that stuff happens. You know, but the essence of LaRouche and what he represented is the activists, the whole concept of, you know, building a future, all that kind of stuff. That kind of spiritual core of LaRouche is with LaRouche Pack.
I understand. It's just that his wife has a lot of clout, and I read the letter that they sent out to everybody, and she didn't believe that the way that organization was going was what LaRouche was really about. So those two organizations disagree on what the whole point of the organization was about. But it sounds like her organization, the ones that can't see past the COVID BS, I wouldn't trust to analyze anything.
No, that's the LaRouche quote organization, but LaRouche Pack, that's different. They're you know, they got kicked because they were working with the Trump people, the whole movement, because they're a political movement. They're the
sure.
You know, the whole, and it's not Trump. Trump's just somebody that, you know, they coalesced around. But that whole thing of taking back America, making their own country again, and not being run by a bunch of internationalists out of the city of London.
Exactly.
That's LaRouche Pack. So that's got the spirit of that. And that's Barbara Boyd and several others. They're the activist core, and they're the ideological core that continues on. So that's kind of what happened there. So you just have to be realized that, you know, I don't really have anything against either of them, but as far as, you know, the future of LaRouche concept and things, it's in the LaRouche Pack, the political activists that are on the street making change. And they're kind of like the future. And I've known the LaRouche organization since the early 80s, right? Well, maybe
sure.
Even late 70s. So I've grown up with them and seen everything that went down. And that's, they're definitely, yeah, I can see. It's something I can understand and see from history, so.
Yeah, sure. And I think this happens a lot. I just, in this current time, if somebody can't see through the COVID pandemic, I mean, that's kind of where I draw the line. If they can't see past this COVID pandemic and this COVID sham, then how could I trust anything they analyze?
Yeah, but
does that make sense to you? I mean, it's like you've completely lost my faith as any kind of analyst if you can't see past that.
Well, on the whole, CV-19 thing is that, I mean, that original virus, there's a patent on it. And the person, the Dr. Chi, in 2009 published her paper of how she'd improved, you know, gain of function in it. And then Dr. Fauci hired her and moved her to the University of North Carolina, which is right near Fort Detrick. And she worked there till 2014 when the Obama administration shut it down. And at that point, she eventually moved back to China and to the Wuhan lab there, and was still being financed by Fauci there. But in 2014, that gain of function virus was taken by the US military and also the Israeli intelligence. They grabbed it too. And they've been working on it themselves. That's why, you know, before the virus came out, the Israelis already had a vaccine that they were almost done with. Of course they did. No, they're way ahead. They're like three steps ahead of most people. So that's just
But those jerks are making everybody take it, and it is like a horrible place for the average Israeli, because they're almost in a concentration camp. The whole country is.
Oh, yeah.
If you're shamed if you don't have a vaccine passport. I mean, we are marching down horrible. They want to depopulate, Ken, and that's what we're seeing go on.
Oh yeah, if you're an Israeli now, I mean, they're going to make you wear like a little maybe a little yellow a yellow star. Oh, you haven't been vaccinated. You have to, you know, we'll put a little yellow star on you just to make sure that, you know, people know that you're not vaccinated.
Well, yeah, let's shame you.
Yeah, the internationalists run out of the city of London. You know, that's who's running things, really, pulls the strings really behind the scenes in Israel. Always has. I mean, the Rothschilds, you should call it Rothschildian land, because it's the Rothschilds are the one that created Israel.
Well, yes. And so now we have these evil bastards. I don't know how else to say it. We got these really bad guys that are trying to depopulate. And they're trying to start an actual war. Is that part of their depopulation plan, to start a war in with Russia and Ukraine to get, I mean, they say it's to get back the Crimea area, but that's, I mean, this is a joke. That was always part of Russia. And what is going on? What do they really want to fuel with this?
Well, it's the financial system is approaching disintegration. Right now, we're in a hyper speculative bubble, where it's almost like a speculative frenzy. You can see it in the stock market, in Bitcoin, and housing prices, because they're creating money out of thin air. I think last year they created like 25% of all the money that's ever been created in history in the United States. So we're essentially entering a hyperinflationary bubble. And that money isn't really going in. Well, of course, if you go to the store, you might notice prices have gone up substantially for the everyday things that you use. And you see that a lot of that, because most of that stuff, you know, for you got it, you may have got your $1,200 check, but that's only like, you know, 10% of all that stimulus money. Where did the rest go? Well, it went to the big boys. And then they're taking that money, and that's going into stock buybacks, it's going into speculation, whether it's, and it's pushing all kinds of speculative assets. And, but they know that's not going to last forever, because it's a bubble. And, you know, it's like what Gerald Celente says, when everything else fails, they take you to war. And that's because when war comes, then you can lock people down, right? Oh, the great enemy, you know, put people in fear. You know, that's what it is. It's a COVID war, right? Didn't that put people in fear?
Yes.
So they huddle in their houses. Well, you know, that one's running out, because, you know, the virus is dying out. Even if it was biologically engineered, it didn't do a, you know, it only ran for a while and then it fades out. It's going to go away. There's nothing they can do. So they have to come up with some new scam. And this is the Ukrainian thing. And, you know, and let's link, remember, Anthony Blinken, he's the guy that overthrew Ukraine and put the puppets in there. And so he's still got a lot of juice there, right? When he says something, all his puppets that he put in back there. And, you know, that the president is Zelensky. He's a comedian, right? He's a comedian. He doesn't have any political thing. And one of the oligarchs put him in charge, and those oligarchs, of course, work with the State Department and the same oligarchs in the that run, you know, they're buddies of the oligarchs that run the U.S. are the same sort of oligarchs that run Ukraine. And so they put a puppet in Zelensky, just as they put a puppet called Joe Obama, you know, in. And these are just, you know, they're just talking pieces. There's nobody home with Joe Obama, and he just, or Kamala, she's just, they're just puppets that are controlled by the powers behind the scenes. And it's those people, things like Larry Fink, right, the head of BlackRock. They got three BlackRock people in the cabinet of Biden. They're the ones who are controlling, you know, what what's where, how's that money going to be spent, and where is it going to be spent? And if you throw in Vanguard, State Street, and all of that, that's where, when it, and it goes back to, you know, with all that missing money that Catherine Austin Fitz and then Professor Skidmore found.
Yeah.
Well, what they didn't tell you is, you know, they, after 2016, they shut down, they put FASB 56 came in, and that basically was just a thing, but the books went dark, but still, they didn't go totally dark. In the last 3 years, $39 trillion of cost overruns in the Defense Department. And so, and then Professor Skidmore did the thing where he looked at the Treasury turnover rates for the Treasury bonds. You know, there's 6 months,
yep,
5 years, 30 years. He figured out, well, this is at the end of 2019, by the way, that there was $100 trillion in outstanding treasuries. Not the 25 at that time that they claimed, or the 20 that they claimed in real debt. There was like that. And if you add, okay, we got 120, we got the 10 that maybe or so that just got added, we've got like $145 trillion in outstanding treasuries right now. 145.
the IMF said, spend as much as you can. There was this big report about 6 months ago. I think they're just trying to squeeze all the juice out of the economy while they can before it collapses and before they shift over. But I am not trusting that they haven't, because they've known this is going to, for 40 years, they know this is where it was going. They know China was going to be the rising power. I don't trust that they haven't created all sorts of deals and all sorts of things to, for the globalists to have. That's why all the investment in China. I think there's more going on with the globalists in China than what we see. And I think there's a purposeful collapse of the Western society on purpose. And I don't know if China, I think China's going to be a willing accomplice in getting the resources they want. But I also think the globalists are behind a lot of it as well. I just don't think China's as innocent. The Chinese Communist Party, the people are different.
No, but you got to realize every Chinese Communist Party member, well, except for a couple, are Chinese. And they have a total, you know, we are just round-eyed barbarians. And yes, and they were, you know, at the point of a gun, forced to, you know, obey, or financial extortion to obey, you know, and do what the Westerners do. But then they did that. But they plotted their time. They plotted. That's the thing Westerners don't understand. They think that they can control the Chinese and in their hubris and arrogance. But no, that's not what's going to happen. Because behind the scenes, the, you know, the China is a very ancient country and they have a very ancient culture. And you can try, just like the Mongols. Yeah, the Mongols controlled the China. But three generations, the Chinese threw them off and invaded Mongolia and chased the Mongols out, you know, Alta Mountain.
So you think, because the Chinese Communist Party was the globalist takeover of China, you think the Chinese have been working to overthrow the Chinese Communist Party and to get rid of the globalists this whole time, and then that's what's happening right now?
Well, the Chinese Party is, well, whatever the party is, it's now a capitalist party, because it's, I mean, look at the prosperity of China.
It's a fascist, it's a combination, and the people are very still under the thumb of the Communist Party. They're shifting. It's an evolved party, but it's still not
As long as the Chinese Party, you know, the Communist Party there, it's, you know, they have the mandate of heaven concept still applies in China. And they look at, say, if they're ruling over them, what, you know, it's like a dynasty. It's just another dynasty, Chinese dynasty. There's been dozens of them. And, you know, look, the Chinese have lifted like 800 million people out of poverty. They've got 30,000 kilometers of high-speed rail. They got the biggest dams, biggest bridge. Yeah. And they've declared themselves the number one and most advanced country in the world, and they are. And that's the mandate of heaven. And that's the pride of China. And China will look around and look at these Western barbarians that, you know, oppressed us and abused us. Well, now our Navy's bigger than the U.S. Navy. And they came up with that new, I don't know if people have seen it, they came up with this new, I can't remember the acronym, the XD1 or something, this new ballistic missile that goes 1,700 miles, that they can fire the ballistic missile from China and hit an aircraft carrier moving on the open ocean, and probably a lot of smaller ships. And so if they put those missiles out on the islands they have in the South China Sea, you know, it is the South China Sea after all, they could reach out easily 3,500 miles, and they basically rendered aircraft carrier battle fleets obsolete. So the U.S. has no more power. The U.S. has no possibility of projecting power. And if there ever was a war between, you know, China would wipe out Guam and all the U.S. bases on Guam and Okinawa and Wake Island within minutes. And any fleet running on there would be sunk within hours.